today we come to faithfulness. Faithfulness. The word that's used is translated in the ESV, the English Standard Version, the version that we use here at the church in the pew. It's translated as faithfulness, a noun. The word is just a standard word for faith. It's the same word, pistis in Greek. So it could be faith or faithfulness. The adjective would be faithful. The adverb would be faithfully. Probably what's in view here is not so much our relationship to God, but our relationship to one another. Some of you have been to see Old Faithful. How many of you have seen that cone-shaped geyser in Yellowstone National Park in, where is that, Wyoming? Is that where it is? Wyoming? You don't know? It's called, I think it's Wyoming. It's is that right? Somebody say yes. Yes. Old Faithful. The motto of the Marines. Neil, is this what, is this it? Somebody deal with the sound for me. The motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, or Semper Fi, always faithful. Always faithful. Synonymous with reliability. Reliability. You know, reliability isn't always a good thing. You know, Judas was reliable. You could trust him to do what he had said he would do. The chief priests trusted him to do what he said he would do for 30 pieces of silver. He would hand over, betray Jesus in the darkness of Gethsemane to Jewish soldiers. Loyalty. But loyalty in and of itself is not always a good thing either. Now you remember the story of Jonadab, a friend and counselor and cousin. This took place in Arkansas. To Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar were half-brother, half-sister, both progenies of King David, as indeed was Absalom. And do you remember the sordid story? We won't go into all the details now, but Amnon had fallen in love with Tamar. This is his half-sister, and it was Jonadab, his counselor, friend, and cousin, who was utterly loyal to Amnon and told him to feign sickness. You remember the result. Amnon raped Tamar, and Amnon was murdered, killed by his half-brother, Absalom. All of these are progeny of David, and you think you've got problems. It's important, this is where it's important to remember that we're talking about the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And there is a reason why faithfulness comes in close proximity to what we were considering last week from Pastor Matthias, goodness. This is a faithfulness that is related to goodness. Let me give you a definition from Jerry Bridges. I mentioned this definition today for a very particular reason, because, first of all, Jerry Bridges was a dear friend, but he died this week. He went home to glory. Had a heart attack, I think, and within 24 hours, he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus. He was not a young man, but Jerry Bridges, written dozens and dozens of books. Many of them have been used here in Bible studies, men's studies, women's studies, Sunday school classes. Jerry Bridges. He defines faithfulness as one who is dependable, trustworthy, and loyal, and who can be depended upon in all relationships, and who is absolutely honest and ethical in all matters. Dependable, trustworthy, loyal, and absolutely honest and ethical in all matters. Faithful. We've just sung probably one of the most well-loved hymns in our canon. Great is thy faithfulness, based, of course, on Lamentations chapter 3 and written by Thomas Chisholm in, I'm making this up, 1926. I don't know. It was in the 1920s. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. A wonderful, extraordinary hymn, and notice that many of you sang it with your eyes closed. You were transfixed. You were in another realm. It was just you and Jesus, and you were just, except that you were singing to God the Father. Great is your faithfulness. So the faithfulness here, as a mark, as a characteristic, as a quality of the believer, is a reflection of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we are faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's always faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful to his promise, faithful to his covenant, faithful to himself. It's the way he is. And we are to be faithful. Well, let's explore this a little. What does it mean to be faithful? Let's pick up the word trustworthy. Faithful in the sense of trustworthy, trustworthiness. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards. Now, he's using a very special word here, oikonomoun in Greek. A steward is somebody who has responsibility for someone else's stuff. Someone else's money, someone else's belonging, someone else's business, and they're stewards. And he's talking about, what he's actually talking about is that we are stewards of the gospel. God has entrusted us with the gospel, and we are stewards of it. It is required, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards that they be faithful. You know, if you're looking after somebody else's stuff, you need to be trustworthy. Handling precious things that belong to someone else, it has connotations of honesty. Proverbs 12:12, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. you know, the old-fashioned scales. You remember them? They went up and down, and you'd put a half-pound weight on one side, and then you'd weigh, and when they reached a sort of, you'd got half a pound, except if the half a pound wasn't half a pound. It was less than half a pound. Remember, there were 16 ounces in a pound, so half a pound would be 8 ounces, so this piece of metal would be 7 ounces. Do you remember all this? Now, an illustration, and I'm not given to sporting illustrations. I often get them wrong. But I came across this one from the Sports Illustrated magazine, 2010. And we're talking here about honesty, trustworthiness, as a mark, as a caliber to measure godliness, Jesus-likeness. A 7-year-old baseball player whose integrity had landed him in the pages of Sports Illustrated a few years ago. At a T-ball game. Is Jimmy in here? Where are you? Jimmy, if I get this wrong, I need to come up here and correct it. At a T-ball game in Wellington, Florida, first baseman Tanner Munsey fielded a ground ball and tried to tag a runner going from first base to second. The umpire, Laura Benson, called the runner out, but Tanner immediately approached her and said, "Ma'am, I didn't tag the runner." Benson awarded the runner second base, and Tanner's coach gave him the game ball for his honesty. 2 weeks later, when Benson again umpiring and Tanner playing shortstop, a similar play occurred. And this time, Benson thought Tanner had missed the tag on a runner going to third, and she called the runner safe. Tanner glanced at Benson and, without saying a word, flipped the ball to the catcher and returned to his position. Benson sensed something was wrong. "Did you tag the runner?" she asked Tanner. "Yes," he replied. And Benson then called the runner out. Of course, the opposing coach protested wildly. Until she explained that what had happened 2 weeks earlier demonstrated that Tanner Munsey was honest. And if he said he had tagged him, he had tagged him because he was honest. He had demonstrated it. That was just a 7-year-old boy. Let's hope he grows up to play baseball like that. Trustworthiness. You know, you put your money in a bank. Some of you have it hidden in a little box under the bed, but some of you put it in a bank. And you trust these guys to take care of it, not to pilfer it. Trustworthiness, honesty. What do we say? He's as honest as the day is long. It's a Jesus quality. You can trust this person. You can trust this person with your life. Are we trustworthy? Dependability. We're still trying to fathom the meaning of faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be trustworthy. It means to be honest. A second idea, dependability. Well, it's a bit like Old Faithful, isn't it? In Yellowstone, which I think is in Wyoming. Old Faithful. You know, you pay your money, you go there, and you expect this thing to do its thing, its business. And you'd be disappointed if it didn't. You'd want your money back. But it's going to do its thing because it's called Old Faithful. It's utterly dependable. I remember talking to a couple who wasn't here at First Pres, so don't begin to wonder who I'm talking about. I remember speaking to a lady one time, Their marriage wasn't that exciting. The spark seemed to have gone, if it had ever been there. And she began to say things like, you know, he hasn't been very successful in business. She didn't get that beautiful house that she had dreamt about. Her lifestyle was kind of blah. And then she said, but he's faithful. And there was a hint about it that almost sounded as though that was a negative. You know, he's faithful. What a plus that is. He's utterly dependable. That's the bedrock of a good marriage right there. Faithfulness. You know the three words? Or is it four? He's been unfaithful. Well, that'll end a marriage. Apart from the grace of Almighty God. He's been unfaithful. What a blessing it is to be faithful, to be dependable. Almost to the point of predictable. Dependability. You can guarantee how this person is going to respond in this situation, in that situation. Faithful, dependable. Loyal. We're still trying to understand what does it mean to be faithful. It means to be trustworthy. It means to be dependable. It means to be, well, to be loyal. Now, there's a bad side. There's a wrong way to be loyal. I spoke about Amnon and Tamar, and Amnon's counselor and friend who was utterly loyal to his friend and told him to feign sickness. But loyalty means more than just being nice to your friend. Sometimes loyalty means telling your friend that they need to stop, they need to repent. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs says. Faithful. One thinks of Jonathan and David. One thinks of Daniel. They were trying to find some problem, some error, some deviance, some blot in the character of Daniel, and they couldn't find it because he was utterly loyal to God and utterly loyal to the king. What does this loyalty mean? What does this loyalty cost? John writes, actually it's Jesus writes a letter in the early chapters of the book of Revelation, and Jesus says to the church at Pergamum, he speaks about a man by the name of Antipas. We don't know much about him. In fact, we don't know anything about him except that Jesus says of him, my faithful witness. Evidently, Antipas had been killed. Tradition in the Eastern Church says that Antipas was the bishop of Pergamum and he had been martyred for his faithfulness, his loyalty to Jesus, his loyalty to Scripture, his loyalty to the gospel had cost him his life. And Jesus speaks of him in Revelation chapter 2 as my faithful witness. Polycarp, 2nd century, bishop of Smyrna, and Polycarp knew the Apostle John. It's rather a neat story, isn't it, that here's a man who knew the Apostle John. And Polycarp is 86 years old. Imagine, 86 years old. That's younger than my mother. And persecution comes to Smyrna. And Polycarp remains faithful. He remains loyal. Loyal to Scripture, loyal to the gospel, loyal to the Lord Jesus. They arrest him. They tie him up to a funeral pyre. They burnt him alive. And because the winds were blowing in a certain direction, the fires just didn't catch him sufficiently to kill him. So they took him down and stabbed him. And before he died, he uttered those astonishing words. For 86 years I have served my master. He's talking about Jesus. For 86 years I have served my master, and he has never let me down. Why should I let him down now? Loyalty. What is the Lord Jesus demanding of you by way of loyalty? By way of faithfulness? I have here, and you can come and look at it later. You know, if we were a trendy church, you know, we would have one of these screens now that would come down, you know, and it would be projected up there, you know, and everyone could see this painting, but we're not that kind of church. I thought about asking for a screen and a projector, but I knew, I just knew there are some elders present and my job would be on the line. So if you want to come and look at this, I'm going to talk about this painting and I'll describe it to you, but you can come and look at it. But this is a very famous painting. And it's by Sir John Poynter, P-O-Y-N-T-E-R, Poynter, 19th century, British. And it's a picture of Pompeii in A.D. 79, when Pompeii was destroyed. Do you remember Mount Vesuvius exploded, a volcano? And hot lava came streaming down into the city of Pompeii, which was at the base of Mount Vesuvius, and destroyed the whole city. And in the late 19th and throughout the 20th century and up to this day, excavations have been made in Pompeii. Who's been in Pompeii, seen the excavations? You have? Okay, I'm jealous. They're extraordinary. I've just seen pictures. They're extraordinary. They uncovered, you know, this hot lava is coming down, and because it's at the base of Mount Vesuvius, the rate at which it's coming down close to the mountain is fairly quick, but not so quick as you couldn't get away and run. But they excavated Roman soldiers still standing in the position where they were meant to stand, guarding and protecting, with spears and shields in their hands. And you can see these excavations, the human form, as death would have been immediate, as they would have been baked alive in seconds. And this painting is of, in the background, there's a picture of the volcano and lava coming down and people shrieking and running and grabbing things. But this soldier is standing there, just standing there with his spear and shield. Because that's what loyalty means. Right? When the going gets tough, the disloyal get going. But when the going gets tough, the loyal stay in place. They do their job. And we see that as a mark of tremendous acclaim in a soldier, a Roman soldier. But it's what Paul says happens in the heart and life of a believer. That's what the gospel does. It makes you loyal to Jesus. Trustworthy. Dependable. Loyal. In your relationships, in your marriage, in your job. To what extent would it be said of you or me? There goes Old Faithful. Well, forget the old part, but utterly trustworthy, utterly dependable, utterly loyal. Our prayer as we look through these, we've got two more to go, as we look through these fruit of the Spirit, that God would mold and shape us, conform us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus, because that's what sanctification is. It is transforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus, making us more and more like Christ. May God so do that for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these extraordinary terms that are used to describe what a gospel-shaped, Christ-like life looks like. And we pray now for this characteristic of godliness in faithfulness, trustworthiness, dependability, loyalty. So mold us, so shape us, so conform us to the image of our Lord Jesus. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.